Pacific Home. Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And it's our news and information hour, and so, Bud and Robert, you're about all I can deal with this hour.
Well, you know, I tried the best I could.
Well, I ain't saying you did a bad job, but I think they put, you know, booking William Renick in a sunscreen segment.
I thought it would work out.
It didn't work out.
Yeah, but what about Vampire?
Yeah, that was okay. Anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour. You know, we were just talking about the Go-Go's, because one of the Go-Go songs came on here during our break. And, you know, Dan was saying that he saw them.
I haven't seen no Go-Go's.
Well, I'm saying he saw them down in, he saw them when he was in the Army. He took his girlfriend a couple nights. It was a big thing. But the last thing we were talking about, which you weighed in on, Bud, was the whole girl musician thing.
I'm just saying, you're not going to find no girl play the drums good, is all I'm saying.
Why not?
What?
Why not?
They're not going to play the drums. How many girls do you know that will do it?
But they don't get no. They don't get hired.
You're using all the civil rights arguments that have been used time and again.
And wait a minute. He's making a good point, man. You don't think there's any good girl drummers. That's why none of them get hired. It's the opposite, man. It's kind of like, are blacks good quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, well, now they've proven their worth. What are you talking about, proving their worth, man? They're always good enough. They wasn't no good until Doug Williams threw them touchdowns in Super Bowl. I forget the one that it was.
Wait. Bud, why don't you shut up while you're ahead, man, okay? Just shut up. You know, how are you going to know anybody's any good unless you hire them? That's the whole thing. You're going to tell me the chick can't play drums? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. I mean, otherwise, why ain't there more?
There ain't no more chicks playing drums because nobody hires chick drummers, okay? It's the same thing. Over and over again, we got to make this we got to explain this to you. The reason why there's no chicks playing drums is cats don't hire them. So what do you think a chick thinks of when she wants to be a professional musician? When she wants to go into the world of music and she wants to play an instrument, you think she's going to be a drummer?
Why wouldn't she?
Because she ain't going to get hired, man. Nobody's going to hire her ass. Maybe they'll hire her. Maybe they'll hire her as a guitar player. Maybe they'll hire her as a bass player. Maybe. They always hire chick singers. And if you play like, what were you saying, Robert?
Yeah, if you play like a chick instrument or something. What do you mean a chick instrument? Like a violin or something, man. You got to play a chick instrument.
Yeah, like a cello. You play a chick instrument, then they'll hire your ass. But how many rock and roll bands going to hire a chick playing a violin?
That's the whole point, man. They're not going to hire no chick. Why don't they learn how to play something good?
Are you some kind of an idiot? Are you listening to what I'm saying? When I was growing up, I knew girls that loved to play the drums. They wanted to play the drums. They played the drums. They played their brother's drum kit. But they didn't, you know, it was useless. They said, why? Why would I even invest my time into that? Who's going to hire a chick drummer, okay?
Didn't you tell me there was a chick drummer in that one group that you knew about?
Yeah, the Honeycombs.
No, that was a group called the Honeycomb. Yeah. They had one hit and they had a chick drummer, yeah.
What about them?
They had a chick drummer. But, I mean, it didn't inspire all these chicks to get hired. I mean, now you see female drummers. Occasionally, I see female drummers more and more with bands, you know. But you don't see them. And the reason is, why are they going to want to play rock and roll? So the Go-Go's come along, you know, and they're playing their music.
Okay, so why didn't more and more and more and more?
Man, you're talking like you're all tarted up.
You're tarted.
Hey. Why? Because the Go-Go's, I maintain, the Go-Go's made a splash because, and this is nothing against them, okay? It's nothing against them as musicians, nothing against them as songwriters, nothing. But I think it's the old timing thing, right place, right time, and an all-female rock band. That was a real novelty. People wanted to see that. People wanted to invest a little bit into that because of the, you know, women's liberation. So they go, wow, let's, you know, here's the Go-Go's, let's buy their records, they're really good. Okay.
What about that one band called what was it called?
Yeah, the Bangers.
The Bangles.
No.
Yeah, the Bangles. They were all chick group, too. Yeah, they did okay.
So why weren't there more?
Because why? What's the point, man? I mean, let's do an all-chick. What does that mean, let's do an all-chick group? Well, don't you want to have the best musicians? I mean, isn't that what that's about? Unless you're hanging out with somebody, and you all hang out, and you go, let's form a band. most of the people that hang out and say, let's form a band, are male. They're not female. And at the very best, most of them that hang out and form a band are male with maybe a chick singer or two chicks in the group, something like that. It's very rare that four or five girls get together on the street and say, let's start a group. And then they start a group, and they get so good that they get to play clubs, and then somebody notices them, and they're good, and they get signed to a management contract, and then they finally get signed to a... Do you know how long you got to stay together, man, to get to where the Go-Go's got? You know, so those girls probably deserve a lot of credit because they hung in.
So what are you saying, man? If there's more good girl group, why don't the girl groups?
What did you just say?
Man, you're all... I sound just like you when you got a mouth full of... ribs? Why, you lousy... Hey!
What did I tell you guys about that? You know, bud, you're just stupid, man. You know, you're just stupid.
Why you say that?
Well, you know, you're baiting him. You're with the race stuff. And, you know, girls can't do that. You're just an idiot, man. You're like, you're representative of so many people in this country. You're just dumb. The only thing that saves you from absolute anonymity in the vast, faceless, unwashed wasteland of humanity is that you work for me.
Call that working.
Exactly. All right. Victim in face-chewing attack identified as cops recount goriest crime. God! The hell? It's being called one of the city's goriest crimes. A naked man was on top of another nude man along a busy highway, biting into the man's face, tearing it to pieces. A police officer arrived to help, but the mauler growled at him and continued to chew away, stopping only when he was shot to death. Miami police said little Tuesday about the attack, which took place Saturday afternoon in the shadow of the Miami Herald headquarters. Surveillance video from the newspaper's security camera showed cars, motorcycles, pedestrians, and bicyclists passing by. The victim, identified as 65-year-old Ronald Popo, a homeless man who lived under the causeway, was in critical condition. He had his face eaten down to his goatee. The forehead was just bone. No nose, no mouth, said Sergeant Armando Aguilar, president of the Miami Fraternal Order of Police. In my opinion, he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sergeant Javier Ortiz, vice president of the Miami Fraternal Order of Police, said it was one of the bloodiest and goriest scenes I've ever been to. Were these responding officers, or are these men asked to speak on behalf of?
What do you mean?
Well, what is this stuff, president of the Miami Fraternal Order of Police?
That's a club.
No, it ain't a club. It's their union, man. But what I'm saying is, why are they identifying these cats as members of the union?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that's something to... What is it with you, Fox? Why don't you do things the way other people do it? What are you... Anyway, well, if you did things the way other people did them, you'd probably do them worse. I don't understand the significance. If the guy was a this is a responding officer. I don't know whether this guy is a member of Miami-Dade. It says Miami Police. So I'm going to have to assume that there's still something called the City of Miami Police, which is not a bad thing to question, because the City of Miami has been a relative thing over the years. It's either been like nothing or a little thing as part of a big bunch of things that are as part of Dade County. It's very weird down there. You think this guy chewing this guy's face off is weird? You want to see all the how many cities they have in one county. That's weird. Right, anyway, Sergeant Javier Ortiz, vice president of the Miami... What police department does he work for? How about that? Fair and balanced, I get. Letting me decide, I don't get, because I can't decide if you don't give me all the information. You dig? Capiche? It was not only grotesque, it was just very sad, the amount of blood. It was very sad to see what happened to this gentleman that had his face eaten, said Sergeant Javier Ortiz. Good Lord. Being a cop.
Man, I'd never be a cop.
Being a cop must be just... I got to tell you, though, I mean, is it wrong for me to say this? If you're going to be a cop, you got to be able to handle it. It's, you know, I know it sounds cold-hearted. I say to you, I'm not a cop because I couldn't handle it. If I were a cop and I saw that, I would do one of two things. I'd break down and never stop crying, or I'd shoot the guy as soon as I caught him doing that, which I think they did. Well, they did shoot and kill the guy, right?
Yeah, they shot and told him. They killed that guy.
But, I mean, suppose they arrested the cat. A cat like this, if they were able to arrest him? Because they tried to get the guy restrained, I think, and they finally shot him.
Is that what they said?
only when he was shot to death. It's not clear what led Rudy Eugene, age 31, this is the guy that was shot by the Miami police officers, to attack Papo. Eugene's ex-wife, Jenny Ducant, told WPLG television that he was somewhat paranoid. I wouldn't say he had mental problems, but he always felt like people were against him. No one was for him. Everybody was against him. Well, that was a guy on his way to paranoid schizophrenia, man.
What's that?
Paranoid schizophrenia is when you are beginning to feel like the whole world has gotten in for you until finally you've lost complete touch with reality. Your reality is completely fractured. You don't know anything, man. Everything is a mess. You don't know who's talking to you. You don't know who isn't. You don't know if there's, you know, some of these people think they got microphones. Didn't you tell me you had an uncle?
Yeah, that's right. I had an uncle. He thought there was microphones in his rug. In his rug? Yeah. He'd be tearing up his rug once a week.
What, did they put him in a hospital?
I don't know.
God. So, yeah, that's probably what happened. Larry Vega was riding his bicycle off the causeway, which connects downtown Miami with Miami Beach, when he saw the attack. So I know exactly where this was. This is the causeway going over to the beach, and this is the causeway that you generally take coming over from the airport, too, if I'm not mistaken. The guy was, like, tearing him to pieces with his mouth, so I said, get off, Vega told Miami television station WSVN. The guy just kept eating the other guy away, like ripping his skin. Oh, God! Vega flagged down the Miami police officer, who can be seen exiting his car on the Herald video. Vega said the officer repeatedly ordered the attacker to get off. Eugene just picked his head up and growled at the officer before continuing to maul his victim. The officer shot Eugene, but he just kept chewing. The officer fired again, killing him. Oh, my God. This is like, this guy's got to be psychotic.
Remember that lady that ate that baby?
Yeah, that lady. There was a lady that they caught after she had partially consumed an infant. These are people, to be honest with you, I can't even get angry at people like this. They're sick, folks. You know, it's a real disease. And I'll tell you, as we said before, schizophrenia, which sounds like this guy's problem, schizophrenia actually destroys the physical tissue of the brain. Within 5 years, I've said this before, within 5 years, people who suffer from the schizophrenic condition without treatment lose something like 25% of their gray matter. It's gone, man. So it's a real physical ailment. And we've only figured this out within the last century. Before that, schizophrenic people were chained to walls in madhouses. They were, oh my God, you know.
Like in that movie that we saw where they took Boris Karloff and they put him in a wall. Man, life ain't all about movies and stuff.
No, he's right. It was a movie. All right, let's come back and talk about something a little bit more, I don't know, something more pleasant, huh? How about skin cancer? I'm kidding. We'll be back with something more pleasant. Anything's more pleasant than this. Maybe if you're watching Phil TV in HD, just coming back and looking at my face one more time, that's more pleasant than this. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
is
a bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm hungry. What do you want?
Give me a pizza. I'll tell you something. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, thanks to our guests this evening. We had Doug Danger on the line. We had Pastor William Rennick on the line. We had David G. Hall. We had R.C. Collins. Had quite a few people with us. Margaret Gray sang very beautifully the song Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did, bud, okay?
That's a bit classy, man. She butchered it.
Just be classy. If I say she sang it nice, she sang it nice, man. We're doing it for the consumption of the audience, you know?
Yeah, but you say that's for the consumption of the audience. That's like gnawing the audience's face off.
And will you get serious here?
I'm kidding. What are you talking about, man?
What do you mean it's like gnawing the audience's face off?
Just be honest with them.
Hey, bud. Shut up.
All right.
for the consumption. Well, that's like gnawing their face off. Speaking of weird, and we can get into this guy's story because there's something having to do with bath salts. Have you heard about this? I'm loath to talk about it because there might be a few people out there who suddenly get all, jumpy. Hey, man, let's get a hold of some bath salts. Yeah. And now they're going to,
Bob, I want to go out and get high on bath salt.
I know I would.
Yeah, well, bud, we wouldn't want you to be high on bath salts because then you might consume someone's face and say, I caused you to do it because of the way I'm reporting the news.
What?
Just... So we'll get into that. But the world just gets weirder and weirder. We give you the story out of Miami. Here's one out of New Jersey. And God almighty, what a country, huh? This is from New Jersey. A man who stabbed himself and threw pieces of his skin and intestines at police officers trying to subdue him was hospitalized in critical condition on Monday. He was stabbing himself and then threw pieces of his own intestine at cops.
And he lived?
And he lived. Officers encountered 43-year-old Wayne Carter on Sunday morning when they responded to reports of a man barricaded in a room in Hackensack threatening to harm himself, according to Lieutenant John Heineman. Two ossifers kicked in the door and saw Carter in a corner holding a knife in his hand. Carter, ignoring the officer's orders to drop the knife, stood up and stabbed himself in the abdomen, legs, and neck. Carter yelled at the officers and took an aggressive stance, and the officers used pepper spray in a bid to subdue him, but it had no effect. Police said that Carter then cut pieces of his skin and intestines and threw them at the officers.
Good God. Why'd he do that, man?
I'm telling you, these people have got to be psychotic. Okay? Psychotic. That's when you don't know what you're doing, man. That's different from a psychopath.
You're talking about a psychopath going to kill somebody.
Psychopaths are not psychotic. Psychopaths, man, they got a real good grip on reality. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going on, man. The only thing about a psychopath is they can, when they're looking around and they're going, aha, this is the lay of the land. I'm me, you're you. Oh, yeah, they know what's up. And they know what the law is, too. Oh, I can't do that. No, if I do that, I go to jail. But the problem with a psychopath is it isn't a schizophrenic's problem. A psychopath isn't going to go out and gnaw a guy's face in the middle of traffic. He's going to say, what the hell do I want to do that for? I'm going to get caught. Some of them are organized, some are disorganized. But a psychopath is a guy that could gnaw a guy's face off like Hannibal Lecter, and it would be as if he was eating Christmas turkey. It would have no effect on him.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about this. Dude, what do you feel when you carve a turkey at Thanksgiving? Bud?
What are you talking about?
What do you feel when you carve a turkey at Thanksgiving?
Well, I feel like I'm hungry.
Okay.
And it's going to be fun,
Right. Is that it?
Yeah.
That's about what a psychopath feels when they're killing somebody.
That they're hungry and it's fun?
That they're hungry and it's fun, yeah. Or that this is going to be good for, this is great. See? Do you cry?
No.
You don't cry when you carve the turkey?
No. What am I going to cry for?
That's the same thing what a psychopath would say when they kill somebody. What am I going to cry for? I'm killing this thing because I need to kill it. You're carving the turkey because you need to. Because it's Thanksgiving. You don't give a damn about the turkey.
Well, I sort of do.
You sort of do, but not really. You have this sort of distant feeling for once upon a time this might have been a turkey that gobbled out in a yard someplace, but it ain't no big thing, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean...
Okay, that's the same thing with a psychopath. They sort of have this feeling that this is a person, but that's, neither here nor there. They're killing this person, and they kill people with the same feeling that you and I have when we cut a freaking turkey for dinner. The same thing. They have no guilt, the same way we have no guilt. Now, a psychotic guy, whole other thing. That cat doesn't feel anything that you and I feel because that cat ain't even living on the planet Earth. He's on another planet called I'm Crazy Planet. And that's the place where it makes perfect sense to eat a guy's face. Absolute sense.
Well, what the hell are you talking about, man? How do you make sense out of gnawing on a guy's face?
Yeah, that's what I meant about you. You're gnawing on the audience's face right now, talking that way.
What are you... Will you stop with that? I'm telling you that in the nutty world that this guy lives in, this guy, this freak, whatever is Rudy Eugene, eating that guy's face made perfect sense. That's exactly what he had to do.
But in the planet that he lived in,
Yeah.
Right. The crazy world that he, the crazy world of Rudy Eugene, man, as opposed to the crazy world of Arthur Brown. All right, well, let's come back here and change the subject, because now I'm it's really going to put me off my post-show meal, which is generally a turkey sandwich. We'll be right back here on The World and Just a Side of Face. I'm kidding.
God, that's sick.
I'm joking. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Side of Face. I like that, man. Shut up.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show. That knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We thank you for joining us this evening. Join us at our website after the show, as we have a show log that we put up there for people who want to know what happened on the show. And you can download the podcast of the show the next day. Just look under recent shows on our website. It's over on the right-hand side. Also, on the left-hand side, you see a link there for the Phil Hendry Radio, the free Phil Hendry podcast. So hit that link and get our free podcast available now. Download all three, as a matter of fact, right, bud?
Yes, go over there. You can find it, and that'll take you on there.
Yeah, that's great. Jeez, man.
What was that, man? What?
Why don't you say it better, man? You go over there, man. It's on the... You know, I give you an opportunity.
Go over to the link, and then you hit it, and then it'll go over, then you download it.
Yeah, that's fine.
What was wrong with that?
Nothing. That's great. So, John Edwards, let's just get off the whole idea, if we can, for 5 seconds, just five lousy seconds, get off the whole thing about eating intestines and a guy's face, if you don't mind, and let's talk about John Edwards. Now, John Edwards is currently on trial.
Yeah, hold on, I'm sorry.
What?
Do you want onions?
On what?
I'm talking about getting a pizza, yeah.
Will you get out of here with the pizza? I'm talking about this. You know, how can you order a pizza?
I'm hungry, man.
Right after I talked about a guy eating his own intestines?
It's late. What do you want?
Nothing, thank you. John Edwards is currently on trial.
Yeah, we'll just get the regular...
Do you mind if I do this, bud? I'm on the air right now, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
John Edwards is currently on trial.
What's a tab? Bud, he's on the air. I'm sorry, just getting a... Yeah? Oh, and put some napkins in there, too, okay? You never put napkins in there, okay? The heck is that? Couldn't they never give you napkins over there? I'm sorry.
If you do it one more time, you know what's going to happen, right?
You're going to kick my ass?
That's right. That's right. Very good. One more time, bud.
Can I just ask something?
What?
You want garlic bread?
No, I don't want garlic bread.
I do. Okay, get two orders. Shut up with that, please. Make it snappy.
John Edwards is currently on trial for misuse of presidential campaign funds, like you didn't know that, but guess what? Which he allegedly, by the way, spent on his mistress, Riel Hunter, for his wife, while his wife was ill with cancer that would eventually take her life. It is scandal of the highest caliber possible. And we would have said that even before reading this report from an ABC newsman covering the trial, but now... Since alternates were identified last Thursday, it's been impossible to ignore the dynamic between Edwards and one of the female alternates, an attractive young woman with jet black hair who seems to have been flirting with Edwards for days. The juror clearly instigated the exchanges. She smiles at him. He smiles at her. She giggles. He blushes. He gets up. He limps over for a glass of water. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sure he limps over. Yeah, probably got a big...
Will you shut up? She smiles. He blushes. He gets up. Rearranges.
Yeah, probably got to rearrange his pants. Yeah.
All right, okay. She giggles. He blushes. He rips it. No, the flirtation has become so obvious that even... What are you doing, bud?
Nothing.
Don't make the finger through the... The flirtation has become so obvious that even Edward's attorneys have to work to suppress their laughter at the absurdity of it all. Are you putting me on or what?
You're kidding.
No. Oh, this is from, this is from TMZ. Edwards is flirting with a... Well, somebody ought to slap that son of a gun into shape, man.
You almost said bitch.
Oh, did I? Oh, I'm sorry, bud. God, man, why don't you just pay attention to your own business, okay?
I'm waiting for the guy to come from Domino's. Can he call here?
No, he can't call here. We're on the air.
Sir, you can't... Get off the phone, man. Can't call here.
A disoriented Ryan Snyder was subdued by passengers and arrested in Miami. He was a Canadian that flipped his lid on an American Airlines flight. How about that?
Man, everybody flipping their lid now.
Got that right. A disoriented Ryan Snyder was subdued by passengers and has been arrested in an attempt to rush the cockpit of an American Airlines plane at Miami International Airport. What the hell's going on? It's just a lot of strange stuff, folks. It's okay. Ryan Snyder, age 24, was subdued by two first-class passengers. Thank God for first class, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
But anyway, as he tried to break into cockpit mode or something. I don't know. Anyway, he's expected to face federal charges that could include interference with a flight crew, according to the FBI. One of the passengers who restrained him, Malik Khan, told ABC News Miami affiliate WPLG how they grabbed Snyder and held him down and then began gnawing on his face. No, he didn't.
Let me see that.
I'm just kidding. No, they grabbed him and they held him down. We weren't going to allow him to harm anybody or to get to the cockpit, Khan said. He was screaming, get me off the plane, get me off the plane, get me back to Canada, get me off the plane.
Hey!
Get me off the plane.
Yeah.
Get me off. Anyway. No, he was screaming, get me off the plane. And why wouldn't he scream that? The plane had landed and they hadn't opened the door. So apparently he was screaming it too soon. Snyder does not appear to have any connection to terrorism. He has barely any connection to Canada. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have any connection to reality.
Yeah, he's on Planet Snyder.
He's on Planet Snyder, exactly. And he was not on the no-fly list. Aha! Well, that no-fly list, man, they better put the name Snyder on there. Start getting some names on there that, you know, other than Jimenez and Malakan or whatever the hell, or Ali Oxentree, whatever the hell they put on there. All right, so anyway, none of the 163 passengers on board were injured other than Snyder, and there was no damage to the plane. Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, I always got to find out, man, whether they're damaged the damn plane or not. You never.
What?
You don't ever want to have that plane, you know.
Yeah, whatever, man. So, anyway, what were you saying? Anyway, so this guy was subdued by the people there in the damn, the airplane. And again, we have another example, I would say, of an individual who is just flipping his lid, man. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, but just God, I don't understand, man. It's scary.
Well, it may be scary, but, you know, there's more people today on Earth than there were back in the day. You understand that, okay? So there's going to be a higher incidence of us hearing about these things, and plus, we have more communications. So that means that with more communications, we have, a better opportunity to hear what's going on. And when you can hear what's going on, then you can obviously know what's going on. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we can cut off that line there. That was our mall. We are what is that, man?
That's the phone. Hold on. Yeah? Yeah, he's at the door. The pizza guy's at the door. Yeah, get out of here with a... Come here for a minute. Wait, the pizza's getting cold.
Get over here. Are you kidding me?
Well, the guy's at the door right now.
But I told you not to have the guy call in here. Next time he calls... He's going to wait until we go to the break.
No, I get the pizza!
He's waiting until we get to the break. You understand? The guy's here with the pizza.
Well, what if it gets cold?
I don't care if it gets free. Give me... No, I'm getting it. Give me that. Will you, which one is it? Hello? What?
My friend.
Are you the guy with the pizza?
What?
Are you the guy with the pizza?
I'm a Ben Frank.
You got the Domino's pizza.
Really?
Okay, hold on, man, and we're going to be there just as soon as we're out of our break here. Just hold on.
Yeah, see that guy? He's Arabian or something.
Oh, I see. And you speak Arabian?
Well, I communicated him better than you.
Look at Bud, I'm doing the show right now. I don't need you having cats calling in here from Hell's Half Acre telling you that your pizza's... Well, give me the phone. Give it to me. What do you want? Hey, pal, just hang tight. I'll be with you in a minute. What? What is this guy? What are you talking about? I told you to wait until I get out of my break and we can talk about... Turn that off, Bud. We can talk about... I'm going to kill somebody.
I told you.
How many pizza guys you got out there anyway?
I called four places because they didn't have no garlic bread.
Well, that took you long enough, huh? No.
Well, I forgot what it was, too.
All right, we're going to take a break here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget that we're... Hang on, will you?
That's coming.
The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth, can I go now?
Yeah, go get your pizza.
The Phil Hendry Show.
That's what I'm feeling.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm good. You are my best. Man, it's great. You sure want it?
I don't want any of that, man. No.
You want to go? You got buffalo wings, too.
No, I just keep it away from me, okay?
I had nothing to eat since breakfast.
How could you guys eat that after all this stuff we're talking about?
What?
Never mind.
Yeah, give me a Diet Coke.
Thanks. Now, you guys, can you be quiet while you're eating, while I'm doing what I'm doing?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, not a problem.
I'd like to say at this time, folks, if you are a music fan, if you were a fan of, I don't know anybody that could not be a fan of rock and roll growing up when I grew up.
Give me some of that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, I love that ranch dressing.
When I was growing up, but a man passed on by the name of Doc Watson.
What do you got for dessert? I got some, probably get some churros.
Yeah. And Doc Watson... this poor man, he hasn't passed on. Excuse me. He's critically ill. He's critically ill.
Want some Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Well, shut up!
What?
I'm trying to do this!
Want some Diet Coke? What'd you get for dessert? Yeah, give me the ranch dressing.
Yeah, what are you listening to us for? Just do the show.
Yeah. I can't do it with you guys talking like that.
Want some ranch dressing?
No, I don't want any ranch dressing. What is that, man?
Buffalo wings.
Yeah, they're the hot kind.
Folk music giant. I should have just started reading the story, folks, because I'm screwing up listening to these guys. Folk music giant Doc Watson remains in critical condition in Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The 89-year-old guitarist had colon surgery last week and has also suffered a fall recently, according to his daughter, Nancy. The website Bluegrass Today reports that Watson remains in the hospital's ICU unit. Doc Watson, what I'm trying to say to you, when I was growing up in the 60s, we had a lot of folk music was popular back then. Bluegrass music was really popular. And listening to Doc Watson was particularly a popular thing. Doc Watson was a guy we listened to. We listened to Eric Von Schmidt and Dave Van Ronk and a lot of, Woody Guthrie, obviously. Pete Seeger was another one, even though those guys, Woody Guthrie was a real old-timer even by the 60s. And Doc Watson was one of them. I personally, I've always liked bluegrass music. I don't know why.
But you like Doc Hillbilly.
Yeah, but you just be quiet. I like bluegrass music because I like it. You know, what do you want me to tell you? I like it, you know?
Yeah, it's okay. Boy, I know black people play it, though.
There's black people that play bluegrass music. Sure there is.
Where are they?
I don't know. What do you mean, where are they? I mean, if you grew up in Appalachia, whether you're black or white, you probably play some kind of damn bluegrass music. I don't know. You know?
What's that stuff they play down in Louisiana? That's probably black folks play.
Yeah, that's called Cajun.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. That ain't bluegrass. That's Cajun music.
Well, white people play Cajun?
Yeah, there's white folks that play Cajun, and there's black folks.
What about ranch dressing?
Shut up! They play ranch dressing music, man. You guys, I'm telling you, I'm going to start this. What do you mean ranch dressing? So anyway, Doc Watson is very ill, and I suppose what we should do, if I was anywhere near the responsible broadcaster that I assume myself to be, I would double-check the news and find out that what the latest is on the good gentleman. If I had a crew that was ready to do that for me, but apparently Bud and Robert have taken a break here and are eating themselves. Now, see this? Thanks a lot, guys. Doc Watson has passed on.
I didn't know.
Well, you guys are eating the freaking chicken wings and ranch dressing.
You ought to be more responsible about it.
Doc Watson has died. God. I was right the first time. Doc Watson, the Grammy Award-winning folk musician whose lightning-fast style of flat-picking influenced guitarists around the world for more than a half century, has passed on Tuesday night at a hospital in Winston-Salem, according to a hospital spokeswoman and his manager. He was 89 years of age. Doc Watson had been blind from the age of one. He recently had the abdominal surgery that I referenced. Arthel Doc Watson's mastery of flat picking helped make the case for the guitar as a lead instrument in the 1950s and 1960s when it was often considered a backup for the mandolin, the fiddle, or the banjo when we're talking about bluegrass music and even in country music and rock and roll. His fast playing could intimidate other musicians, even his own grandson who performed with him. Richard Watson said in a 2000 interview with the Associated Press that his grandfather's playing had a humbling effect on other musicians. The ever-humble Doc Watson found it hard to believe. Said Richard, "Everybody that's picked with you says you intimidate them, and that includes some of the best." Doc Watson was born on March the 3rd, 1923, in what is now Deep Gap, North Carolina, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. See, that's what we're talking about, Robert.
Yeah, I'm talking about black people up there.
Yeah, there's black folks up there, man. Probably a lot of black folks.
Why?
I don't know. You know, maybe runaway slaves and that kind of jazz. Who knows, man? He lost his eyesight by the age of one when he developed an eye infection that worsened by, or that was worsened by, a congenital vascular disorder, according to a website for the Merle Fest, which is an annual gathering. Named for his late son, Merle. He came from a musical family. His father was active in the church choir and played banjo. I wonder how many, you know, the church, man, it's influenced a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't go to church neither.
I guess a lot of people do go to church because the number of musicians, and I mean great ones, that have been influenced by church music, by being in a church band, by being in a church choir, by singing in a church choir, at least during a particular period of American history, is pretty amazing. I can't read about these greats. I mean, the really great ones, without reading about some, you know, influence that the church had on them. Doc Watson's father gave him a harmonica as a young child, and by the age of five, he was playing the banjo, according to the Merle Fest website. He learned a few guitar chords while attending the North Carolina Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh, and his father helped him buy a Stella guitar for $12. "My real interest in music was old 78s and the sound of the music," Doc Watson is quoted as saying. "I loved it and began to realize that one of the main sounds on those old records I loved was the guitar." That's pretty heavy, man, about how it influenced it as a lead instrument. And no doubt, you know, like I say, as a lead instrument, because you wonder when the guitar left the era of being, you know, like a
singing cowboy, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, like Gene Autry. You know, "I'm an old cowhand," whatever the hell. And it left the era of cats like that, and gradually became this lead instrument that has it all over, like playing the trumpet or the saxophone. I mean, those used to be sort of the lead improvisational instruments in different bands, you know? But the guitar just, bam, blew past them. And now the guitar is seen every bit as much a not only a lead instrument, but guitar players can be every bit as much the virtuosos as great violin players. I mean, there's guys that play guitar, like and rock and roll guitar. It's amazing. So anyway, it was Merle Haggard that had a huge, huge influence on a lot of those guys, man. There you go.
I don't know, man. I feel like I'm going to play the bluegrass.
What?
A ball of bluegrass.
I can't understand you. You got a mouth full of garlic bread, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. A ball of bluegrass.
Get out of here, you clown. I'm trying to do a show, and you guys are there over there gumming your freaking garlic bread.
Yeah, I'm gumming it. Like, look at Phil, look. Oh, jeez. Hey, Phil.
Ah, that's all. That's all for tonight. I can't take it. Just swallow your food, okay? Swallow your food. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. Join us at philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass and access to the greatest radio show on earth. And don't forget, of course, our podcast, podcast numero 3, is available to you at philhenryshow.com. Make sure you hit the banner there for the Phil Henry podcast. All right, y'all. It's great to be back. And don't forget to join us again tonight. Listen to the podcast of tonight's show on our website. Get a backstage pass. We'll see you back tonight. God bless. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.